Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and I'm here with Kate, who is currently in the car. So you can just excuse her if there are any, it's not going to be. No, who would beep at you? No one.
Yeah, it won't be beeping. I'm in my mum's car and it talks to you. Like, she's got this awesome flash new Kia and it does things that I've never even heard of cars doing. It's got a fan in the seat. I haven't turned it on because I'm not that keen, but it amazes me that it has. And it talks to me, so if I kind of veer a little to the left of the lane, it'll, like, beep at me to get back in the middle and stuff. Yeah, so if you hear things, it's just the car. Yeah, it's just the car going, hey, pay attention.
So today we were just going to talk. We actually decided, because sort of pre-Christmas and end of term four itis has hit us, so we've decided that this is going to be the last episode that we're going to do for the year. Because frankly I think that most people will be too busy with their own term four itis / getting ready for Christmas to be listening to us blather on the podcast anyway. So we put up a post about what everyone's big goals were for next year, so we thought that we'd talk a little bit about what our sort of plans are for next year, and I'll also share some of the things that other people in the community are doing as well, because looks like there's going to be quite a few things where there'll be a fair amount of people. So that's always nice when you get to meet up with people who you chat to online.
Yeah, and I love it when, you know, you kind of set these goals and targets now before the craziness of Christmas. So you're not New Year's Eve going, oh, you know, I really wish I had this plan for next year, and coming up with some drunken idiocy, which I may have been known to do in the past. Won't happen this year, obviously. But I love that people have shared such a wide range of goals and things they, you know, target events and things they want to do as well.
Yeah, like Kirsten, who coaches in Run Club, and she also coaches Learn to Run as well. She's going to be doing the marathon at Canberra, which is going to be a big one. I know a few people who are doing the half there as well. And she's also going to be doing Great Ocean Road, which is one of our favourite. I think she'll be doing the half marathon there. Or maybe she's doing the full. She hasn't said, so I don't know. But I'm just assuming that if it was me, I wouldn't want to be doing two. But she very well may be. And Rachel, who's getting back into running after having her baby, she's going to be at the Gold Coast for the half. So I've just written her 10K plan to get back into the swing of things. So that's very exciting. And Robin and Leanne are also doing the half at Gold Coast. So that's going to be a big one.
Oh, that'll be awesome fun for them. And I think I saw that Ness had some really exciting news this week as well.
Yes, I know. It's so, so exciting to be... It's going to be tackling... Is it... It is 100, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure. It's a big one, and I'm pretty sure it's 100.
I'm pretty sure it is, because I'm pretty sure, like, I looked at them and went, like, wow, it's a serious amount of running. And yeah. Because she did... She had such an amazing time with 6 foot this year, and she did the... Human Hovel 50k this year, so I think she's looking at stepping up. And Deborah is also doing the Gold Coast half. There's a lot of stuff going on there, and also a few people doing Jetty to Jetty. That's one I'd like to do. It's nice. It's like it's up at Redcliffe, and it goes, I think that there's a 5, there's a 10, and there's a half, and I did the 10 this year. I wouldn't mind doing the half. There's a bit of up and down with it, but the views are amazing, so that's a really nice one.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
And also, probably again, I'll go back and do the Warwick Pentath, which is 5 runs over 2 days, and they total 42.2. So on the first day you do a half marathon, a short cross country, and a flat 5k, and then the next day you run uphill for 10k's, and then you have a 1500 meter sprint through town.
Yeah, that seems like a really clever and fun event. Like, I wish when you did it this year, I remember thinking, I wish more places were doing that kind of thing. Because I mean, obviously I love events where you've got a range of distances, like 5, 10, half, full, but I think what they're doing in Warwick is really clever.
It's a great weekend, you know, like the whole community gets into it and you know, just have probably a little bit more time than what you would normally have in a place. And it's really the kind of the views and scenery that you get are really different from, say, the half marathon to the 10K ascent. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It was quite apparently it's normally a lot colder, and I was there and they're like, oh, it's so warm. So, you know, I'm hoping for a repeat performance there, but yeah, that was a great one. Brenda's doing the 50K at the UTA 50. That's very exciting.
Yeah, I saw that too. That is exciting because I'm pretty sure she just did her first marathon not that long ago. So really exciting for her to be stepping it up to the next level.
And yeah, Nessa's written in UTA 100 and she's looking, and she got into 6 foot track as well. So that's very
exciting. I saw that and I was so excited, firstly because it's exciting, secondly because it's her, not me. And she will love every minute of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying the break from, yeah, sort of like long training. Particularly easy to enjoy it at the moment up here because it's so warm. Like the idea of running for, you know, 3 or 4 hours on the weekend in the heat, it does not overly appeal for me. It probably might appeal a bit more in winter, but I've written out my next sort of 10 weeks of training, and I've signed up for this 18K trail run in February, so which I won't be aiming to, you know, break any land speed records there because I don't often have opportunity to run on trail, so I have to spend a lot of time concentrating on what my feet are doing. So I've got about 10 weeks of doing a plan where I'm running 3 times a week, mostly hard runs. Really, there are a few steady state sort of runs in there, and you know, it's probably about 3 CrossFit sessions, and then you've written me 3 strength sessions with an optional 4th, and so I'm just going to be doing that for the next 10 weeks, and I'm going to be looking at, I'm really interested to see, like, the plan that I've put together is sort of really focusing on interval work as opposed to, you know, long slow distance runs, and I'm really interested, like, when it comes to tackling something that's 18Ks and there's about 700 meters of elevation up and down, like what that translates to into fitness. Just, you know, thought I'd just try something different because the kind of the shorter intervals and, you know, and harder running kind of suits the weight training a little bit better than if I was doing more endurance style running. And so I thought, oh, just, you know, because I don't mind, like, always kind of look at it and you go, oh, there's a lot of intervals in there. But when I actually get to the week and I'm going through it, I actually quite enjoy it. Like this morning I did a weight session and then I had 2 800-meter sprints, but because it's like it's over so quickly, it's really easy to kind of get my head around and just go, yep, I'm going to do this. And it kind of works out with things being a bit more busy. Like ordinarily I'd have more time this morning, but Riley has to go to choir, and so I've got to be back here by 7:30. So me doing weights in the morning and then essentially only having a 12-minute run works quite well.
Nice. You've got to balance things out where you can. Yeah, and I think for most of us, particularly with kids at this end of the year, we've got all the extracurricular activities going on, and we've got the concerts, and we've got the heightened emotions of our children to deal with. So you've got to grab your options to move when you can. And if that means, you know, weights and a 12-minute run, then that seems like a pretty big win.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes it easier on everyone, and particularly at the moment when they're kind of pretty emotional, you know, just me being around a bit more is, you know, definitely a good thing. And then I can just, you know, like if I have a bit of extra time, then I can just have, you know, like chuck a few easy runs in there for fun, you know. And also it's nice to you know, to be particularly this time of year, you know, taking advantage of more of the sort of like the social side of things with getting down to CrossFit or going to park run or, you know, whatever it is, and just sort of enjoying spending time with people as well, not just, you know, sort of out there training.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are your big targets for next year that you're looking at?
So I think that the first thing that I've really got penciled in at this stage is the Warwick Pentath, which is in May. But there's a whole bunch of trail runs that are local to me up here that I'll be looking at doing. So there's one that is, I think, Up the Buff is one.
That's a great name.
And then there's another one which is, I think it's like Narimba to Polly's in Tepee. And I'll just be picking distances that are sort of like either, you know, like around 10 to 15 or something like that, like not going much above that. And then I'm looking at, you know, probably in July, there's Jetty to Jetty. And I probably won't do Gold Coast half or full marathon this year, but I might come up and cheer on a few people because that could be a lot of fun. And then I was also looking at, because we had talked about Surf Coast Century, but one of, I guess, the sticking points for me with the one that's on in September is that if you don't want to do the 50 or 100, you have to be in teams of four for the relay. And I thought that can be a bit prohibitive for people. Like, people might want to come and do like a 20K run, but they don't necessarily want to be doing it as part of a team. And then there are all of the logistics about changing over. And I just thought, oh, it might be a little bit restrictive. And they have the Surf Coast Trail Marathon on down there, same place in June, and you have the option of doing a half marathon there.
So I thought
that could be a good one if there was enough, you know, other people in the community who wanted to go down and do it. Then I thought, you know, I could look at doing that. Somebody else also suggested the Dubbo Zoo Run. That's in August, and you and I have very tentatively penciled in Queenstown in November, because, you know, like, yeah. how long could it possibly take you to, you know, like, bounce back after having a baby?
Yeah, well, considering how far I'm bouncing down at the moment, I don't know. But, you know, I love it because it's November next year. Surely I feel like I'd be able to manage a half. I don't know about a full, but I reckon I could get to half by November. And, you know, what an awesome opportunity to have a little holiday.
Yeah, and I think it'd be really nice because they have like so many different runs that you can do in New Zealand, lots of elevation, lots of hills, but this one is just, it's relatively flat, so it's a nice sort of way to come back into running. You don't want to be like navigating too many technical trails after just having had a baby. And it's sort of they said like 70% hard packed trail, so it's actually going to be relatively be a bit low impact than going on the road too, plus you've got all of the views there, and you know, I think it could be a really nice one, and it's not really that expensive to travel to New Zealand, you know, compared to domestically.
Yeah, it's cheaper for me to go to New Zealand than it is to go to Perth, so yeah. Why not?
Exactly. So that's sort of something that we'll just sort of see, I guess, closer to the time, how realistic it is. I'm looking at probably doing a little bit. I kind of ended up feeling that I committed to too many events last year, you know, which can happen when you get excited. and the same thing happened when I was looking at the running calendar, when I was sort of looking at what I could do. Like, at first I looked at it and I was like, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden I had all of these things on my list and it was too many. And I was like, yeah, here we go again. So I'm just sort of trying to pare it back a little bit. So I'm just going to sort of see how everything goes through summer, and then look at, you know, what we can do. And if we were doing New Zealand, I probably wouldn't come down for Melbourne.
Close.
Yeah, yeah, bit close, and just a bit too much travel. I think it did end up, you know, it's not a bad thing, but I think that, you know, sort of the way the running calendar works, it all tends to sort of like pack in at the, you know, sort of like middle part of the year, like from sort of like June to October. And I think it was a bit of a strain on the girls, you know, because there was a period of time where I was pretty much going off to do something, you know, like once every 4 weeks. And, you know, which they've got loads of people who give them a great time when I'm away, so I'm not, you know, I'm okay with that, but I'm also sort of sensitive to the fact that it does have an impact on them how often I'm away.
Yeah, totally understandable. I'm super excited that by the time we come back for our first pod next year, I won't be a whinging pregnant woman anymore. I'll be a whinging tired newborn mother.
I think in comparison, it's like if somebody said to me, you can be pregnant, or you can have, like, even with Piper when she had colic, like, if somebody gave me the option of being pregnant or having a colicky baby, I'd still take the colicky baby.
Oh, absolutely. And I've gone from, you know, like, I've not been able to run since 10 weeks. So that was a loss, and that's okay, because I was walking and doing, like, quite long-distance walks and stuff. And as of this week at 33 weeks, I'm not allowed to walk anymore either. So I'm going mental. Fair warning, anyone who sees me on Facebook, don't poke the bear. Not worth it at the moment. I'll just tell you how miserable life is. And I know she's going to be an amazingly awesome baby, probably, you know, the best baby in the world aside from my other four. But I tell you what, I can't wait for her to get out.
Yeah, the getting to the, particularly when you're, like, that's the worst part of pregnancy, and particularly for you because you've had all of the hip issues and all of that sort of stuff with just sort of mobility. Like, ordinarily I'd be, like, in my pregnancies, I got to the last trimester and it was, you know, it was hard to sleep and it was hard to move around, but there was nothing stopping me from going for a walk, you know, like, whereas when you sort of get into the situation where you're like, yeah, no walking, you're like, well, I have four kids. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, that was my favourite when I saw an osteo for the first time this week, which is a great investment. I'm going to say, people, go check out an osteo if you've done physio and things for injuries in the past. Osteo is also good. And she was lovely, and I went there expecting her to say, this is what we can do that's going to make you feel better. And she said, this is what we can do that's going to make the next month or two bearable, and that's as good as it's going to get. And aside from the fact that I just about burst into tears in her office, and I'm like, that's the wrong answer. But at least she was honest about it. She's like, look, this is a situation. My, you know, my pelvis is separated already, which I knew. I can feel that. Thank you. You know, and I've got sciatica and I've got all these different hip issues. And, you know, I had issues with my hips when I started running, and I do wonder if there's not a connection. But I also am fully aware that with my last pregnancy 6 years ago, I had a lot of various problems with my hips a lot earlier than this, so obviously the years of running have really kind of served me well in that sense too.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know, like, because I have a scoliosis, and that sort of thing of having a slightly twisted pelvis at the best of time, it really doesn't serve you well when it comes to having babies. And, you know, it can get so painful, and you get all of that sciatica, and it's just like, ugh. I'm not one of those people who forgets how awful pregnancy is, and it's awful. Like, babies, awesome, and pregnancy is just awful.
Yeah, so if you're one of those, you know, women who at 9 months are walking around glowing and talking about how wonderful it is, you can just not talk to me. Thank you very much. I'm not that person. And I love it because I put up a photo every week on my Kate Says Stuff page. And I get the most beautiful comments from people saying, you know, you look amazing and blah, blah, blah. And it's nice to read that because I feel the opposite of that. Yes. And that's like my once a week where I have a few seconds of going, yeah, I'm doing okay.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's nice to have that for, you know, years down the track, you know. I think particularly, you know, given that I don't think that you'd be having another baby after this one.
Oh, hell no.
So, yeah, you know, but it will be, I think it'll be, even aside from all the new baby stuff, it'll be such a relief. To, even though it will, you know, like take a lot of time to sort of start returning to stuff, and you'll have a lot of other, you know, other things going on with your body, with all of the, you know, once the uterus decides to go back into the, I think that after labour stuff always took me by surprise a little bit. Like what? It keeps going?
Yeah, it's shocking, and it gets worse with each baby. I remember after I had Sarah, like 2 days after I had her, thinking, am I still in labour? Is there another baby in there? What is going on? It was horrible.
Yeah, and I think I probably didn't notice it so much with Riley because I'd had a C-section, so I was on decent drugs afterwards. Mm. But with Piper, with having a vaginal birth, and they were really stingy with the drugs, I must say. I was not pleased. And so I felt it a lot more with her, and I was like, whoa. And there was another woman there who just had her fourth C-section, and she was really feeling it. She was on some very, very good drugs, I think.
Oh,
because
wow.
Yeah, because I think it's tends to be you know, even more pronounced often with C-sections for some reason, something to do with I don't know, to do with the drugs or just like the speed of delivery or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So yeah, fun times.
No, such a delight, the whole experience, really. Yeah. But I was just thinking, you know, how lovely that, you know, the next pod to record, the background noise won't be a car. It'll probably be a baby snuffling and feeding. That's kind of something to look forward to, the upmove baby arriving.
Yes, and how good do babies smell, honestly? Like I saw a thing in my time hop the other day with me ranting on about how absolutely delicious kids smell when they're asleep. And this was, and even occasionally, like I still have such vivid memories of what Piper smelled like when she was a baby, and I would just like lie there and be smelling her like a weirdo. And occasionally, because she's still sleeping with us, occasionally I'll give her a kiss and I'm like, oh yeah, I can still smell a tiny little bit of that baby smell still. Not for much longer, but yeah. I mean, you've got all of the really, really fun stuff to outweigh all of the not sleeping stuff.
Yeah.
Or you could end up with like one of those, you know, mythical easy babies that I keep hearing about.
Well, that's what I've put in an order for. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. So, you know, I'll let you know.
So I was thinking yesterday, it's so weird to think, like, because of the age gap, that when this baby is going into school, that Sarah will be, like, going into high school.
I know. I know. And my oldest son has pointed out numerous that by the time this baby is his age, he'll be the age I was when I had a reason for him to have a baby that age.
Yes. So, and the other question that we got before we wander entirely off track, as we usually do, was somebody had a question about running a faster 5K, which I think is an awesome goal. I think it's an awesome summer goal because, you know, you're not out there for hours at a time, particularly if you're somewhere, you know, like in New South Wales or Queensland or WA or anywhere that like that has is hot at this time of year. Unlike, well, Melbourne is, but it just tends to go in, it tends to be more in waves of like 40 degrees, 10 degrees. and I think that one of the things to remember with running a faster 5K is you're dealing with, you know, like if I improve a 5K time by 5 seconds, I would be happy with that, because it's, you know, you're dealing with seconds, not with minutes. Like, where it's relatively, you know, like if I went off and ran a half marathon, then the next one I could realistically aim after a 12-week cycle to improve that time by about 5 minutes. With the 5K, you know, you're dealing with a much shorter distance, so I think that it's important to have realistic expectations of actually how much you are going to improve that. And it's great to have, like, a, you know, like, for ages my goal was to get to under, like, a first goal was probably to get to 5K under 30 minutes, and then when I did that was then to get under 25. So I did still think in that sort of 5 minute thing, but it does take you a lot longer to shave off that time.
And even if you have PB'd by like 5 seconds, you really need to celebrate it, because it might be the hardest PB you've ever earned. It's not like training for a half, where, you know, you're doing the hard runs but you're still doing the long stuff. To improve your 5K, you are going to work.
Yeah, and, you know, and once you do, it might be like, I think that my 5K PB is from, I think it might be 2014. It's a long time ago.
That's when mine's from too.
and it's, you know, not only have, well, and since then, that wasn't like, I wasn't training for 5K. That was in the middle of marathon training, which can give you a very decent 5K while you're there. So that's not a drama. But in, it is one of those things where when you get it, you might not get another one for a very long time. And you also kind of need the right headspace for it. You know, like, I was really willing, like, I woke up that morning and I was like, yep, today's the day, I'm going to go for it. And I was really willing to just, like, get into that pain cave and stay there. And I got to, like, 4.5 Ks and I thought I was going to die. And I was like, I'm not stopping with 500 meters to go. You know, like, I can, you know, I'm not wasting this 4.5 Ks of hell to not finish. And so I did that. So it also, like, and it's not to say you can't improve your 5K. Like, if I think it's also good to think about, are you improving your, like, 5K as fast as you possibly can time, or are you improving, like, what your 5K tempo pace is? And both of those things will, you know, essentially be a similar form of training. But if you're really going for 5K as fast as you possibly can, then there is a lot of sort of, like, mental headspace where you need to be able to get into that zone and be willing to, you know, kind of hurt for it a little bit.
And when you're ready to do that, you go out there, you do it, and it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, I mean, when I get people, when people are looking at improving their 5K and they say, oh, you know, like, at the end of the plan, I'll go out, I say, just wait. Like, it might be on that day that you're ready to go and try, but you're going to have a good feeling on the day when you want to try for your 5K PB, because some mornings you wake up and you just don't feel it. You're like, eh, I don't really feel like doing that today, or, you know, you feel like maybe you're not fully rested or whatever. And then some days you just wake up with a good feeling. You think, I'm going to have a good run today. And that's a good day to go out and do it, because a lot, so much of it is mental. Like, if you, you know, you are capable of far more, your body is capable of far more than what your brain will allow it to do. So, you know, a big part of it is believing and committing to a certain pace and just going out and doing it, rather than kind of going, oh, you know, like, I don't think I can. Because if you don't think you can, then it's sort of all over at that point. I mean, and, like, I'm a big believer in things like high intensity interval, in, like, in terms of high intensity with strength training to improve the 5K time. So whether that's in a, like, a CrossFit type environment, or an F45, or a boot camp class, or whatever it is, I think that something like that can be really great to improve a 5K time, because you are working the system without actually having to run to do it, and a lot of it builds a lot of mental strength as well, which is what you're going to need, and is developing obviously sort of like lower body strength, which is a lot more important in shorter distances than what it is in longer distance. So I think that can be a great cross training type of thing. The other thing is obviously like, you know, really hard intervals.
Yeah.
You know, like it just, and you know, and sort of, and doing that tempo stuff to get your body used to sitting on that threshold, and so you can teach your body to get rid of, you know, like all the waste that your body creates. And just, you have to, for 5K, you have to be willing to be pretty uncomfortable, you know. And I mean, by the same token, if you went out for 12 weeks and you ran at an easy pace and were consistent with going out 3 or 4 times a week, your 5K time would probably improve. I'm not saying that it wouldn't, but if you sort of have a more aggressive goal or want to see a big improvement, or you feel like you've plateaued a bit with the 5K, then some high intensity is what you're going to need to get over the line and start. And it's going to be things like, okay, if you want to run a really fast 5K, then you're going to need to do like a 3K time trial and go as hard as you can for that 3Ks to teach your body that it can actually do it. And, yep. And you know, you're going to have to start get good at pacing for those things, because it's so easy to kind of like go out really hard and then you just absolutely wreck yourself and you're like no good for anyone.
I think, you know, with so much of this stuff, it's really easy to overthink it as well. Like, if you have a plan, you've got a coach, you've got a plan, whatever you've got in front of you, that's it. You do that. You just go out there and get the work done. And if you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right either way. So, you know, get your headset right and then just follow the plan and get it done.
Yeah, and, you know, just use the resources that you have. You know, like, if you don't want to, like, sometimes it can be great to have a 5K event at the end of your 10 or 12 week training plan, but sometimes it's a lot of pressure too. You know, like, this is, you know, 3 months of work. What if it doesn't go well? So if you're going to do it for an event, you would usually like to have like a practice event, and then like maybe like one or two more after that, so you can like get out the nerves. If you're going out there, you know that you've got another one coming up where you can test it out as well, so it's not the be all and end all. Or you can just like work it into, you know, if you have a local park run, you could just use that as your sort of like testing thing, and then you're kind of seeing the time improve over time, because you're always going to get a better time in an environment where you're running with other people, because you're just never going to be able to match that kind of adrenaline on your own. But by the same token, everyone's different, and some people would just find that too stressful, and they probably would psych themselves out too much in an event, and they maybe are better off just running their 5K on their, you know, in familiar territory. So just, you can be kind of like make your own choices with what's going to work best for you there, because I do find though, like particularly in the end period of a 5K, if I'm at park run and I've got people in front of me that I can focus on to either like keep pace with or pass, I will tend to have a better run than if I was just doing it on my own.
Yeah, company, never underestimate the power of good company. Even if you don't know the people around you, it's still good company.
Yeah, just, you know, it just, I think, makes it easier for you to push yourself that little bit more when there are other people out doing that as well.
Yeah, and it feels easier. Like, it somehow just feels easier to maintain a harder pace when you've got other people around you.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like with most sort of 5K plans, you'd be looking at, you know, building up to about an hour of a long run, but no more, just so that your body is used to going a lot further than just 5Ks. Like, if all you ever run is 5Ks, then it's a lot harder to push the speed over that distance. So you want to build that distance up a little bit so that you know that you have more than, you know, got enough in the tank for the distance, and then you want to focus on you know, all sorts of different sort of quality speed sessions. And I tend to not like to repeat, you know, like say for example, like I did my 2x800 meter sprints today, but I had just done weights, so they weren't very sprinty. but I did them, and I would tend to, I had actually done them like 3 weeks before, because I've started my plan over again because I had 3 weeks off with holiday and being sick and whatever, and I thought, oh, I'll just start again, which is what I've done. But it would be rare for me to repeat the same workout that sort of close to one another, because I find then there's all of this, tends to be all of this pressure to do better than that, which I definitely didn't do today. And I think that it can be like, if you, like sometimes the way people write training plans is they're like, okay, this day we're doing this, and this will be repeated, like this, say this 3K time trial will be repeated, you know, like every 3 or 4 weeks. That can become, at least for me, a really, really big kind of stressor when I come up to repeat a session, because it's like, well, what does it mean about my training if it's not, you know, any better? But there are just so many variables that go into it. You know, there's sleep, there's what have you been eating, there's, you know, there's sort of, you know, the weather, and, you know, like muscle fatigue, and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And so even if you are able to replicate, you know, sort of the route and be doing on the same route and, you know, all of that, there are just so many variables that go into it. It's often an unnecessary level of stress. And so I'd kind of rather go, okay, we'll do this workout and then we'll do this different workout. They're both, you know, focusing on the same system, but you are not going to have the stress of comparing yourself too much by repeating workouts close together. I'm not adverse to repeating repeating workouts sort of like more like every, you know, like 8 to 12 weeks, that's fine. But I think that it can just disrupt people's mental space a bit too much to have the same workouts over and over.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're never going to have the same day twice, so you're never going to have the same outcome twice, even if you are doing almost exactly the same thing. That's just life, and how you adjust to it is what pretty much defines what you'll get out of it, really.
Yeah, so I think that there are a couple different training plans for 5 kilometres in Run Club, and of course you can always sign up through either... We kind of have a couple of options with training with us. One is you get a custom training plan and coaching support in Run Club, and the other one is more long-term and in-depth coaching with me in Far and Fast. So if you are interested in taking up some coaching options, you can check all of them out on the website. I don't. There are downloadable plans in Run Club, but as a general, and I think that there is also like an instant download for a 5K plan still in the shop, but mainly because I haven't removed it. Because my thing is that I don't really believe it, that like a set plan can give you a great outcome, but if you want the best outcome, you need something that's completely tailored to what you like to do, how you like to train, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what your schedule is, what your things, what your goals are, all of that sort of stuff is going to make the, because you put so much effort into your running and your training and everything like that, you want that effort rewarded, and to have it rewarded you really need something that's tailored to you, not just something that you download.
And in addition to that, over on the website at the moment, we've got an awesome giveaway, I believe.
We do. We've got Skins are giving away some 3/4 A400 tights, which I've been testing out, so you might have seen them over on Instagram, and I found them to be absolutely fantastic. I think that, you know, for me, a lot of times with compression gear, I have a problem with the waistband being too thin or them not sort of staying up, and they've got this great thing where it's sort of scalloped up at the back, so everything holds everything in, which I like, and nothing moves, which is like my big kind of thing for any workout gear. And I really notice the compression, like I find that that quite supportive. And I've also found it really great for warm weather running, like I don't find them too hot at all. So you can kind of see everything that I have said about them on the blog at the moment, and we'll link up to that in the episode notes, as well as give you, there's also offering up until the I think it's up until the 20th, there's a 20% off voucher that people can use too, and you just have to get your entry in by the 11th of December. So you've got a little bit of time to get your entry in, and I will get somebody who is not me to judge people's responses.
And that'll be a nice Christmas present for someone.
Yeah, the Christmas presents you get for yourself are the best kind, I think. So,
yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, and we will be back next year, probably, I would say, I'm just looking at my calendar now because I'm that organised. I would say that we will be back in the second week of February. And we also, at the moment, if you are keen to start with us on the 2nd of January for Learn to Run, early bird rates are currently going. So if you sign up now to start next year, then you'll get 20% off normal prices.
All right, happening.
Yes, lots and lots of fun things. And in the meantime, if you have any questions, you can just email me or pop into the community group, because we have got a Secret Santa going on, which you can also join in with. We have about 40 people doing the Secret Santa this year, which is awesome. And you just join up, and then we'll draw names, and you will get somebody's name and their address to post a present to, and they'll probably, if you don't know them, they'll probably have filled out their wish list of, you know, the kinds of things that they like, and it's just a bit of a fun thing to do with the community at the end of the year.
And yeah, I guess at this point we get to wish you all Merry Christmas and awesome New Year's. It's been great talking in your ears this year and we'll look forward to doing it again next year, and hope you have a really happy, healthy and safe holiday season.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, I just it's been so fun doing the podcast this year. It's definitely one of my favorite things to do, and make sure that over the Christmas break you enjoy everything and don't feel guilty for one single nanosecond about not working out or not exercising or eating everything in sight. That's all part of the fun of Christmas. Go have fun. And, you know, next year is next year.
Exactly right. And we'll see you then.
All right. Talk to you then. Bye.